warn you, my cat's jumping on here, so you're gonna be seeing
That's
her.
we had we have a when we were making this thing with 50 plus people, and we were all over Zoom because we started this thing during the pandemic. So the amount of pet photo bombs throughout meetings and things like that, it was constant.
Gotcha. So tell me about the Dynasty. I loved it. First of all, it was amazing. I watched it when it first came out, but tell me a little bit about how it came to be.
I was working on this doc for HBO called Tiger. It was about the golfer Tiger Woods, and the author of the book that sort of that doc was based off of, a guy named Jeff Benedict, was in the middle of writing a book about the New England Patriots, and he came to me and said, would you all be interested? And the truth is, I wasn't a Patriots fan growing up. Didn't really know much about the team, but I think I was intrigued enough and said, let me know if it ever actually comes to pass, and I'd love to be involved. And then, few months later, I can't remember exactly when it was, he called me and said, hey, Imagine Entertainment, Apple, are now sort of involved, and we're ready to get going. Do you still want to do it? And I said, yeah. And I think, the only thing that I knew when I said yes about the New England Patriots was that they'd won a lot of football games and that they really didn't talk about anything and kept everybody at arm's length. And so that's sort of how I jumped into it and got started.
And what would you say was the most challenging part about making this? I know you said you didn't grow up as a Patriots fan, but what was the most challenging part other than not really being familiar with the team?
Well, it was everything. We had to go through 30,000 hours of archive to just when you think about the amount of time that it took, 50 plus people that we had working, almost close to around the clock, just to go through it and figure out what was useful and what wasn't. And then, getting people to sit down and talk, and getting them to tell stories that they had never really told before. I think all of that was challenging, but I think the thing that was most important to us was that this never felt like another sports documentary, that the thing that we would focus on would be the things that make the story universal and that people who had never watched a football game could relate to. And I think that was always sort of focusing on the interpersonal dynamics.
That's what I liked about it. You got the good, the bad, the ugly. You got pretty much everything. Things I didn't even know about the team. And that's what I found most impressive about it. So I definitely said you hit the nail on the head.
Oh,
And what
thanks.
would you say was the most surprising thing that you learned about the Patriots through this 10-part documentary?
I think this goes back a little bit to the idea that they were always the team that kept everybody at arm's length. Is I didn't know anything about their personalities at all, and I don't think many people did. And so it was realizing how fascinating they were as people. And I think the thing that you notice in our series is how vulnerable everybody got. Right. And emotional people got, and especially Tom Brady, who had really, I don't think, really showed that side of him until the series came out. And so I think just getting to know this story in ways that went beyond sort of the headlines and the sort of post game locker room stuff, and really diving deep into all those interpersonal dynamics was a shock to me.
That's what I like too, because you think about someone like Tom Brady, and you think, oh, he was married to Giselle, he's a dad, he's a football player. You seeing that emotion, particularly with his injury, I thought that was just, I didn't expect that at all. So I think you did a really good job focusing on that. And then you focus on the whole thing with Aaron. And what was that like, focusing on that part of it when like nobody had any idea what was going on with him?
Well, I think that my entire philosophy was to get out of the way as much as possible and let the people who are actually inside the walls of that Patriot place tell the stories for the first time. But in particular for that episode, I'll never forget, I was interviewing Deion Branch, and I really hadn't talked, I think, to any of the players or coaches about the Aaron Hernandez story before. But one of the producers texted me out of the blue and said, I think Dion had a personal relationship with Aaron. You should ask him about it. And so I said to him, "Tell me about Aaron." And the clip at the beginning of episode six, where you see Dion Branch saying, "We called him Chico," and saying, you know, talking about how you never really know a person, you know, and all these things, basically came off of that question. And when you see the fact that this story still affects a lot of these guys to this day, I knew that we had to be really sensitive about it and not, you know, I think the thing that we're always trying to do, whether it's a, you never really want to make something about the genre that it would naturally fall into, right? So in the same way that we're not trying to just make another sports documentary for the whole series, I think that the trap here would be that you tell the Aaron Hernandez story like it's a true crime story, because I don't think that that's what made it as interesting as how, again, we go back to the interpersonal dynamics, how all these people are still to this day affected by it, what they saw, what, you know, all of that kind of stuff. I think it was, that's the things that we wanted to focus on. But more than anything else, it's just let these guys tell their story and not come in with any kind of preconceived notion of anything.
What I liked about it, the way you had thought you handled it in such a classy way, especially since it is considered a true crime. It's considered such a tough, horrible subject for everyone to deal with. I
Yeah.
couldn't imagine knowing someone and dealing with someone. So I thought you handled it in such a classy way.
Thank you.
Now, is there something that you wanted to show in this series that you didn't get to show or that you might show in the future?
You know, the great thing about making this, we actually didn't have that much time to do it because at the beginning of the process, we had sort of said, when's a good time to show this? And somebody had said, well, maybe after the Super Bowl in 2024. And that was sort of an arbitrary time that was set. And when you think about going through all those hours of footage and doing 73 interviews and then having to put together 10 episodes and everything, it wasn't, it 2 years sounds like a lot, but it wasn't. But a credit to the team of producers and story people, editors, everybody. I think we really felt like we got to tell the story that we wanted to tell in the way that we wanted to tell it. And so, yeah, there's things on the cutting room floor that are great, but they didn't fit into the larger sort of discussion that we were having about, you know, interpersonal dynamics and what makes, you know, what led to the incredible successes that they had, but also sort of how this thing fell apart. And so it's not that there wasn't great stuff that we had to cut out. We could have made 30 episodes if it was necessary, but I think we really got to tell the story that we wanted to tell.
And thinking of players and the coaches themselves that you interviewed, which one of them, other than Tom Brady, with the way he was, and he was absolutely amazing, that who surprised you the most and why, in terms of what they had to say, in terms of their personality?
I think to me, the most fascinating person that we talked to was Ernie Adams, the director of football research. You know, this is a person who really has never talked about the Patriots before. And I found him to be such an engaging character who gave so much insight to the way that the coaching staff was thinking, the way that Bill Belichick was thinking. And you know, other than there were basically, let me think, there were basically four people who were there for 20 years, and it was Bill, Tom, Ernie, and Robert Kraft, and that's basically it. Everybody else came and went, and so to have somebody like Ernie, who really had been there for everything and sort of seen how all of this went, but was, you know, very happy to not be the person getting attention for anything or praise for anything. It was sort of behind the scenes, but to have his insight finally after all these years was really, really, really important. And I thought everything he talked about was great.
And you mentioned that you weren't familiar, not familiar with the Patriots when you started. What team are you familiar with that you would like to do a documentary with in the future?
I don't have any desire to do a documentary with them or about them because I don't think that I would have. It's the Green Bay Packers, but the reason I wouldn't want to do it is because I don't think that the story is served by having a fan make a doc, right? I don't think
Right.
that Because then you get focused on things like games that were important to you while you were sitting on the couch watching them for the first time, and things like that. I think what you want to have is somebody who wants to tell the unvarnished story and to do it in a really objective way that doesn't have any personal feelings wrapped up in it. And so I think that, whenever you make a doc, again, the football part of it is in a lot of ways the least interesting of it. It's really, to me, is all about the characters. And I think that if I had been a fan of the Patriots, I would have been too focused on, oh, but you've got to include this Super Bowl, you got to do this, or you got to do that. And I think
Right.
that that would have made for something that would have appealed to people in Boston, and but outside of that, to people who are fans of other teams or who really don't like watching football to begin with. I don't think that that would have really told the story that's universal, because I mean, that's no matter what the subject matter is, and whether it's fiction or doc, the best movies, the movies we love and that we watch over and over again, are the ones that are universal, that whatever the person is going through, whatever world they're living in, you can relate to what they're going through and why they're going through it.
That's true, true. So what's next for you? I mean, this was such a huge hit, and I, like I said, I absolutely enjoyed every minute of it. So I want to know what we're seeing next from you.
Nothing that I can talk about yet, but again, I think the thing that I love to find are stories that have been in the public eye for a long time, but that you can look at through a different way, whether it's a theme or a question that you're trying to answer, and get to something that goes beyond the sort of the subject matter, right? And so whatever it is, that's the only thing that I'm really ever looking for is a story that people that they sort of think they've consumed, and then trying to find a new approach to telling
What would be your dream public
it.
eye story to tell and
Oh
why?
my gosh, that's a great question. I grew up in DC, and my parents were involved in politics, and so there's part of me that's always fascinated with the idea of, the presidency and things like that, and trying to find a different way to approach it. But I mean, that's a whole nother universe.
Well, for the record, I would watch the heck out of that because I have a political science degree too, and that was my focus of the presidency. So I would watch that thing like nobody's business.
Yeah, that would be great.
So, one thing I guess in people I interview is tell me a fun fact about yourself.
Oh gosh, a fun fact. I'm trying to think. I don't know. I don't know. Katie, can you think of any fun facts? I don't know. I don't even know myself enough now to give you a fun fact. No, I'm joking, but honestly, running around all over the country, getting to talk to all of these incredible storytellers, and for 2.5 years, the rest of my life is honestly very boring. I'm a dad. I have two boys, and it just whenever I'm not out interviewing people or deep in the edit, I always just try to spend as much time with them as humanly possible. So I outside of the filmmaking part of it, I have a very boring life.
But I bet they're so proud of you.
Well, they're four and eight, so I don't think they quite understand the con. I think in their minds it would be a lot better if I made Lego like Lego movies or something like that than if I was making things about football players. So, but yes, no, they're great, and unfortunately for them, they know a lot more about the New England Patriots by just hearing conversations that I had on the phone or being in the same room with me when I was watching cuts than I think most 4-year-olds and 8-year-olds know.
Cute though. And since we're a TV set, what are you watching these days?
Oh wow. The truth is, I wish I could tell you that I was watching some new hit series, but most of the time, at the end of the day, What I love to watch is old episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm or old episodes of The Wire. And I know those shows don't really have that much in common with each other, but I think Curb Your Enthusiasm is always something that helps me unwind at the end of the day. And I just think the storytelling and the structure of The Wire is a I haven't seen another series come out that comes close to doing what they did with that. So I think a lot of times either watch one of those to unwind or the other one to just sort of, to study how people tell stories.
Nice. I like both those shows
Yeah.
too. And I just want to say thank you so much for this opportunity. I
Oh,
think
no,
you're
yeah, thank
amazing. I
you.
think your work is incredible. And I can't wait to see what you do next. I'm proud of
Oh,
you.
thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
No problem. We'll talk again soon.
All
Thank
right.
you.